This week begins the first of the four special Parshios, Shkolim, Zohar, Parah, and HaChodesh. I'd like to take a look at an idea in Shabbos Parshas Shkolim, learn together a Medrash in Mirtz Hashem, and then see its relevancy for our lives. The Psukim are well known. They come from Parsha Kitisa. Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, "When you take a census of the children of Israel, according to the numbers, every man shall give Hashem an atonement for his soul. When counting them, shall not be a plague among them when counting them. This shall they give. Everyone who passes through the census, a half shekel of the sacred shekel, the shekel is 20 geros, half a shekel is apportioned to Hashem. Everyone who passes through the census, the wealthy shall not increase, the destitute shall not decrease, and you should take the silver of the atonement from the children of Israel and give it to the tent of meeting, etc." On the pasuk, Ze yitnu, this you shall give, Rashi says, the Holy One, blessed be He, took a type of fiery coin from under the throne of glory and showed it to Moshe. He said to him, "This they shall give." So, our first and foremost question, and this is what the Shem Shmuel asks in source number 3, we need to understand that how is a half a shekel in general able to be an atonement? We understand how a korban, the srikas adam, the sprinkling of the blood, we understand how that's an atonement. But how is giving a half a coin an atonement for a person's soul? That's the overall question. We've spoken about this in the past. More specifically, I'd like to look at this medrash. That ze yitnu, ze means you point at something. And there were a number of things that were difficult for Moshe Rabbeinu, so Hashem had to show it to him. So Hashem took a type of fiery coin from under his throne of glory and showed it to Moshe, and he said to him, "This they shall give." Ze, to point to something. So first of all, we have to understand, why should the coin shown to Moshe be made of fire? Why couldn't he just pull out a coin? What was the necessity to show him a fiery coin? What's the necessity of showing him that it came from under his throne of glory? That's where Hashem keeps coin, under his throne of glory? It seems a little bit strange. And further, probably the most important question, source number 4, that the Nesivos from Megillah story mass, Halo Loin Stivita Be'asiyas Hashkalit, I understand by the menorah it was difficult for Moshe Rabbeinu to know how to make it because it had to be one miksha, one solid piece of gold, and therefore it was difficult to make. So Moshe Rabbeinu had to be shown it. But here, he doesn't have to make it. Hashem doesn't tell him, make coins, right? You're in the minting business, right? Or he'd make a mint. No. He told him, this is how you shall give it. So just pull out a coin from, you know, the treasury and say, here's the coin. What was the necessity that Moshe Rabbeinu had to be shown a fiery coin from under the throne of glory? Obviously, it's here to teach us a lesson, and there's something much deeper going on here than just showing him what the coin looks like. So it's this question that we'll need to understand and try to peel off layer after layer to try to understand what is the nature of this fiery coin and what way does this fiery coin create l'chaper nafshal seichem, this type of atonement, and what was the difficulty Moshe Rabbeinu had that the fiery coin responds to this difficulty. So just the first approach, which we'll mention, is Elohim Moadai Rav Schlesinger, who tells of a story. He said there was once a big gadol, Chacham Gadol Yisrael, who lived a few generations ago, who detested money. He wanted to have nothing to do with money. And he just stayed far away from it as possible. And then one Purim, somebody brought him over as part of Mishloach Manos money. And he suddenly took the money, and he started playing with it, and looking at it, and touching it. And his son said, "What's going on here? You've stayed away from money all these years. What's come over you?" He says, "I'll tell you. I'm about to do the mitzvah Matanos Levyonim, which is giving money to the poor. And in order for the mitzvah to be chaviv, to be beloved for me, I'm taking this very money and I'm showing, you know, attachment to it. And that way, when I actually give the money, I can give it in a much more exalted type of fashion." Likewise, Kena Devar Binyanenu in Source 6. Hinei ba machzita shechel l'chaper l'nefesh shechata. We know that the machzita shekel, the half a shekel, came to atone for a person who sinned. And the Baal Turim writes that the word shekel is the same gematria as nefesh, a soul. Moshe Rabbeinu had to understand, how is it possible that something physical, like a coin, has the ability to be mechaper, has the ability to atone? which is the nefesh adam, it's ruchani, it's something spiritual. Lachen heralo kadosh baruch hu matbeah shel eish. Hashem showed him fire. Fire, which is something physical, is also something very spiritual, right? Torah is compared to fire. Halo kol dvari ka'esh. So what Moshe Rabbeinu was being shown is that even something physical, as money, can have a spiritual property to it. And one shouldn't just look at money as something physical. One should look at money as a potential for to be elevated to a higher purpose. Like this great Rav who's able to be attached to the money in order to enhance the giving of tzedakah. So Moshe Rabbeinu is being taught that normally we look at money and we stay far away from it. Money is something so physical. No. By being shown a fiery coin, fire is a physical property, and yet fire is very spiritual, that it can have both components to it, and that money isn't just something that's physical. By giving tzedakah, by giving money, you can atone for yourself, and that indeed is the power of tzedakah to be able to bring forgiveness on a person, v'chule. And indeed, he quotes here from the Kutzker Rebbe, who says, that generally, whatever we give, dine koma shadam, the dad in six, notein harei oto davar hu gam chaserata. Whatever I give, I'm now missing. Right? If I give you a cake, I'm now missing the cake. You have the cake. An exception to that is fire. I can give off of my candle as many fires, as a zillion candles, and it won't in any way take away from my candle. Likewise, stucco. That's the play on words, v'natnu, to give, can be read backwards and forwards the same way, same letters. Because when you give tzedakah, you're not losing in any way. And only something physical, when you give it, you've lost it. But something spiritual, when you give it, you've only gained by giving it. And this is what the lesson Moshe Rabbeinu is being taught, and the lesson he's teaching us, is that when you give tzedakah, when you give this half a shekel, don't think that you're losing something. And don't think it's just in the physical dimension. No, it has the ability to transcend into the spiritual. Recognize that's the power of tzedakah to transcend into the spiritual. And that is our challenge. Our challenge is to take our money and be able to realize that it comes to a much greater place. And hence, mitachat kisei hakavod, from under the throne of glory. That something as physical as money can be something as lofty as under the kisei hakavod, the throne of glory, if it is used appropriately, and instead of losing something, you're only gaining, because just like fire, money, given appropriately, is a spiritual aspect, and you never lose by giving your money. That's idea number one. The second idea that is the Chazon HaMoed himself, and he quotes here, the Megillat Starim, he quotes the Alshech, Shemashin Kashem Moshe Binyan Machzid HaShekel Hi Shemechol Mitzvah Af Shemasa HaMitzvah Hi Begashmius Mikol Mako Merak Poel Dimayon Lerer Aidei Asiyasu Kochon Midod El Yonim. In general, every mitzvah we do, albeit that it's done down here in the physical world, it opens up, it's a Poel Dimayon, it is an action that has some type of impact in the spiritual world. And then we have to realize that, albeit it's being done down here, but it creates a spiritual reality in heaven. So an example of this would be what the Nevi'im do all the time. They would, let's say, throw an arrow toward Aram, and that's a poel dimayon, that's just an imagery of what's going to happen with the downfall of Aram. And or you're putting a yoke on the Navi's shoulder, and that also is eliciting a certain spiritual response. So this is something that generally happens, and mitzvahs are no exception. That we do a mitzvah down here, don't think that the mitzvah is just relegated to our world down here. At the very moment that we're doing this mitzvah, it creates a response in heaven. Perhaps, as a more concrete example, is Kiyas Shofar Shel Ayil. I'm blowing down, not I, but one blows the shofar down here. Morer Midal Yona Kriyas Shofar. It's going to awaken that midah called shofar, which remembers the Akedas Yitzchak, and then brings the Rachmei Hashem, the mercy of Hashem. You know, I parenthetically, this idea of poel dimayon I used for our Mishloach Manos, we're on the verge of another Purim, last year, but I gave out to a small circle of friends. I like to try to give out, usually, aside from food, some type of gadget or something that's useful. So last year, I gave out these bottle openers, these jar openers, these jar keys that you know, you buy a bunch from Amazon that takes out the suction on one of those, you know, like tomato sauce jars or pickle jars that, you know, you try so hard to open and here you just, you know, go chip, and it breaks out the suction and the jar opens easily. And in the note I wrote this exact idea, that this bottle opener should be a Poel Dimayon, that the Shari Shamayim should be open on Purim, that all one's tefillos should enter as easily as the bottle opener. And that, again, that's the idea of what this Poel Dimayon is about, perhaps in a very simple example. So Moshe Rabbeinu was trying to understand, I understand that right here, down here, we're giving the Matzus HaShekel, but what is this creating in heaven? What's the effect in Shamayim? So here, Allah, Kodesh Baruch Hu Matzbeil Shaleish, Hu HaShorash HaMitzvah L'malah. So he showed him the fiery coin to show him the effect above, which means Moshe Rabbeinu, it wasn't difficult for him what a coin is. Duh! Of course he knows what a coin is. But he was trying to understand what's the effect of this coin. What's the power of this coin? To which Hashem says, let me tell you what the power of this coin is. It's a fiery coin from under the Kiseh Kavod. What does this mean? So explain to Chazon L'Moed, Dinei Yadua in the arrow, Sheishnam Be'olam Shtei Hanago, continuing in 8. There are two main ways that Hashem interacts with this world. Hanoheget HaTeva, Hanagat HaTeva, the natural way, Sheba Munhagim Kol Shivim Umos HaOlam, which all 70 nations are ruled by. And then there's Hanahaga Shel Yisrael. Then there's the way Klai Yisrael is ruled, which is above the natural way. And this is the way of, he describes, this Hanagan Nisi, this miraculous way, Lamal Miderech HaTeva, is what we call Eish. This is fire. And he explains that fire has the ability to break down all the components, it's above the components, whatever that may mean. So when showing the fire, what he's saying to Moshe Rabbeinu is that Klal Yisrael is going to be led, not by the way of Teva, not by the way of nature, but L'malo min HaTeva, above nature. What's the meaning behind this? Continuing in 9. So we know that most of the Mefarshim say that the Machzitz HaShekel, the half a shekel, came as a kapara, as an atonement for the sin of Chet HaEgel, of the sin of the golden calf. And after the sin of the golden calf, Moshe Rabbeinu pleaded with Hashem, don't lead us through a malach, don't have an emissary, an intermediary, be the one who's going to lead us into Eretz Yisrael. We want you, Hashem, to directly lead us. So when Hashem is showing him the fiery coin, he's showing him that indeed these coins have the ability to be mechaper, to atone for the sin of the Chet HaEgel. And in so doing, the fire represents that Hashem has forgiven them, and instead of leading them b'derech HaTeva, the natural way, Hashem is going to lead them l'malo min HaTeva, above the natural way. So the fiery coin is a response. Moshe Rabbeinu is asking, what is the effect? And the effect is full forgiveness for Klal Yisrael when they give this Machzitz HaShekel, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to respond by leading them l'malo miderech HaTeva, above the natural way, the way of fire. The prerequisite of this, however, in order for the full kapara, the full atonement to happen, is if Klal Yisrael are able to work together to bring Kvod Shamayim into this world. And we know, the arrow in Source 9, the Zohar Kadosh points it out, that kol neshamos zuros mitachat kisei kavod, that all of our neshamos come from under the kisei kavod. There's like this big treasury chest there, where there are millions of neshamos. All right, it's a great way to describe it to your kids. Like, you know, Hashem was looking through all those neshamos down there in this chest. You know, like we go through the Havdil, our toys. You know, and Hashem was looking, who would be the perfect soul to come down to this family? And you know what, Sarla, whatever your kid's name is, he chose your neshama because he knew that your neshama was the perfect fit, right? All these neshamas Hashem could have chosen from. So the neshamas come from mitachat kisei kavod. What's the imagery of the Zohar Kadosh that the neshamas come from tachat kisei kavod? Is that every neshama is here in this world in order to build Kvod Shamayim in this world, to bring Hashem's presence down into this world. That's kisei kavod. The kisei kavod, literally the throne of glory, is the place
place where Hashem resides. Every time a person does the will of God, he enables Kivyachol Hashem to reside in that act that he's done. So the deeper meaning of our neshamas are under the Kisei Kavod means that our neshamas are here. Their placement is to be able to create a Kisei Kavod, a throne of glory for Kadosh Baruch Hu, Shekadosh Baruch Hu Yashkin Shechinato Babriya. In order to be able to do this, a person has to recognize that each and every one of us has to work together. We are just a machzit in the arrow and nine. We are just a half. And our job is to be able to join together, that we create part of the Kisei Kavod. But I can't do it alone. I need to be able to join together. And that explains when the Medrash says that our shkalim were able to undo the shkalim of Haman. What was the whole kitrug of Haman? Haman says, Yishno Amin 11, Echad Mefosar Mefarad Ben Amin. There's one nation that's scattered among the nations. And we know that when Klal Yisrael are scattered, that's when the Umos Ha'olam, that's when the nations have the ability to have an upper hand in us. When we're able to work together, then we're bringing Hashem's presence down in this world, we're invincible. But at the moment, I'm vying for this, and you're vying for that, and we're not able to work together to bring Hashem's presence down, so we've lost that koach ha'achdut, that power of unity, and then we become weakened for the nations. And that's why when Esther is going to try to undo this kitrug, she says, "Let Knosa Kol Yehudi, go gather all the people together, because the only way that we can undo the threat of Amalek, the threat of Haman, is through unity." And hence, in Source 12, the whole idea of Purim, as we've spoken about many times, is the idea of brotherly love. That, as Derek Eretzuta notes, I'm in the bracket in 12, if you want to have love with your friend, then give and take to, for his goodness, for his kindness, to do things for him. It doesn't say, as Rav Dessler points out, that if you love somebody, give to them. No. By giving to somebody, you're going to come to love them. So if you really want to connect with somebody, so the way to connect is give them. Bring Mishloach Manot to people who you normally don't give to. Right? And whatever you give, Purim is a time of brotherhood. Purim is a time of unity. And that, my friends, explains that if a person brings Mishloach Manot to somebody and they're mocha and they said they don't want it, so the question is, again, we're not talking about halachically here, but conceptually, are you yotze your mishloach manos? And explains the manos halevi, based on the manos halevi, yes. The kevan sheshalach ve'rachi bato. The fact that you sent it and showed your love, you've been yotze. The fact that he didn't receive it, that's a separate point. That's one of the reasons why we don't have a bracha mishloach manos. Because mishloach manos is supposed to create ava. You don't really know if the person really loves you or is really happy with the mishloach manos. You can't say a bracha. Nevertheless, the very act of giving is the act of connection. And that is what Purim is all about. Rabbi Bernstein, in Purim Removing the Mask, he quotes here the Manos HaLevi. Hashem knows, Haman knows that in order for Achashverosh, Source 13, to agree to his plan to exterminate the Jews, he will need to feel that it's assured of success. It's likely that the king will actually have some reservations. Do the Jewish people now have a track record of impressive divine protection against their enemy? Haman seeks to allay his concern by pointing out the Jewish people are currently in a state of disunity. Even Haman knew that there's a lack of unity among Jewish people, they can forfeit their divine protection. And again, this is the idea on the next page of 14 of Lech Knosa Kol Yehudim, that Esther's number one priority was to join them together. Those two ideas are well known. There's a Maharal that I found very fascinating, which I think is less well known. And something to think about when you're listening to the Megillah this year. When Haman's decree, Source 15, was overturned, Mordechai sent out a second message instructing, Liyod hayudim atidim leyom hazeh, liyinakein merivehim. For the Jews must be prepared for that day to exact vengeance from their enemies. If you take the word, look at the word atidim, you'll notice that there's a kri uksiv. Although it's pronounced atidim, as if it's written with the yud, it's actually written in the Megillah with a vav, atudim. So when there's a kriyuk siv, you have to know that both the way it's written with the vav and the way it's read, atidim, in the future, both have significance for us. So he quotes here, the Maharal explains in the asterisk in 15, the word atudim is in Hebrew means goats. specifically refers to the goats whose job it is to ensure that the rest of the flock stay together. Indeed, for this reason, those individuals whose job it is to ensure that the people under them are together are what's referred to in Hebrew as atudim. This concept was of critical importance in the war against our enemies on that day. For it's only through coming together and being unified that the divine presence was with us and we were able to achieve victory. Thus, in this verse, the Kri and Ksiv work together. The way the word is pronounced, atidim, instructs that we were prepared. We have to be prepared for that day. The way the word is written, atudim, indicates how best to be prepared, and that's through unity. And that's the message of the Megillah. Just to end this idea, one step a little bit deeper, in Source 16, the Nesiva Shalom, where the Nesiva Shalom speaks about this in many places. He brings the idea in the asterisks in 16 of the Noam Elimelech, how is it possible that we all sin that we're able to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And the Noam Elimelech says there's a concept of Klal Yisrael, there's a concept of Knesset Yisrael, the Jewish people. And although individuals sin, to the extent that we're able to connect ourselves to the Klal, to the greater whole, to the larger Jewish people, that is immutable. That is for all generations. That is on the perfected state. And our job is to be able, as much as possible, right? People say, Hinei Mucham Zuman, to Mekayim, the Smitzvah, B'Shem Kol Yisrael, that I'm connecting myself to that higher place, right? It's a Kabbalistic idea called Knesset Yisrael. And that's in Yana, in the arrow, in 16, Shalmachzit Tasheka. Achdus ubitu klal Yisrael. Kol acham Yisrael natam machzit hashekel. Vaydeze nifnei klalus Yisrael yachta. That when I give a half a shekel, I am connecting myself to the klal, to the overall part of klal Yisrael. And that part of klal Yisrael is invincible. And that part of klal Yisrael will enable me to have the ability to continue moving forward. So, my friends, what we've seen so far is what is this fiery coin? What's the significance of the fiery coin? So, on the most basic level, don't think that money is just negative, just like fire has a physical property and a spiritual property. Money also has both properties. And just like fire, you can give and you're not losing out. Stuck on money is also something you give and not losing out. And that was what Moshe Rabbeinu had difficulty in, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed to this day, which is the message for our lives. Sometimes we think we give stucco, we're losing out. You never lose out. The second idea that we saw is that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't understand what's the effect of this mitzvah. Like, what's really going on in Shemayim? To which Hashem has shown him what's really going on in Shemayim is something called fire. It's something called l'malo min ha-teva, that in fact, Klal Yisrael are getting forgiveness. And when Klal Yisrael, under them, the Neshamos, under the Kiseh Kavod, come together in this form of Knesset Yisrael, they bond together as one. So indeed, the forgiveness has taken place. And Hashem is mochel us, He's forgiven us. Majority of forgiveness for the Chet HaEgel, and therefore we're able for Hashem to treat us l'mala miderech hateva, above the natural way. And again, this is really the message of the Purim story. The Purim story is Haman knew what our Achilles heel is. When we have disunity, that's the time to get us. Atudim atidim layom hazeh. When we gather together, lech nosa kol Yehudim. Purim is a day of unity. The Purim is our responsibility to go out and try to create as much achdus. That's why we give Mishloach Manot to people who we've gotten into a fight with over the year. We try to create as much brotherhood and friendship as possible, because that enables this higher level of Hashgacha Pratit, divine protection to reign over the Jews. And that's really our responsibility if we want Hashem to treat us above the natural order. And in our day and age, when there's so much going on that we need this divine protection more than ever this year in Purim, we need to go out of our way to be creative in ways to feel like who may be on the outskirts, who may not, who could appreciate, who could benefit from, and create this feeling of brotherhood, this feeling of unity. The third idea, there'll be basically four altogether, the third idea is very, very deep. And we'll struggle with it, which is okay, because life is full of struggle. We'll see if we understand it a little bit. That will be also nice, and see if we can implement it into our lives, it'll even be higher. albeit it's difficult and challenging, I want us to be exposed to this idea because the depth here is just tremendous. And if we're able to have it, think about it and process it, I think the effects will be tremendous. Kuslim Sus Bavavam, Rav Eisenberger Shlita, who notes that Shkolim is about Shikul Adas, about weighing your mind to be able to know the difference between good and bad, which leads us to Zohar, which then be able to have a Ruach Kedusha, which is Parshas Parah, and then we'll be able to have Itchachos, which is Parshat Achodesh. And he begins with Source 18. He says, our job now is L'romeimim Abateinu V'shifateinu L'tzeimet Tzimtzum Shelanu L'merchavim. Shabbos Parshat Shkolim, these four Shabbos, this isn't just, oh, you know, Shabbos Parshat Shkolim. No. I mean, yes, but no. There's something much deeper here. And we have to be able to move out of our narrowness and be able to see the depth that's found in the Shabbos, in this Parsha, and how we can integrate it into our lives. And he clearly, he notes here in 19, he says, if Rashi is going to bring this idea that he showed him a fiery coin, and Rashi is a pashtan, obviously in some level of pshat, in the simple meaning, this fire has some meaning for our lives. We have to explain what it is. So he explains the following source, number 20. He says, Dvarinu pam, dibarnu pam barichut bavanat mamaram hirhuei aveira kashim aveira. There's an idea that Chazal tell us that the thoughts of doing a sin are worse than the sin itself. Granted, shagam shapi toras ha-nigla, masech ha-chamor afilu medibur v'choshechei v'machshava. In the world of action, in the world of punishment, in the world we live in, obviously you get punished for a bad action, not a bad speech or not a bad thought. However, in the higher worlds, there's a different dimension. Vayinyum Besen 21. Depol Adam Uvutzah Bemsud Kli Amaisa Shesharasham Benefesh Adam. Vilo Machshava Yibemoach Shesham Mishkan HaNeshama. There are really two different parts of us that account for things that we do. One is our desires, right? I desire to, go to the store and buy you something. So that's coming from my heart. You know, I want to do you a favor, and I go out and buy you something. Right? And this is the passion, the desires, the heart. Then there's a higher place, and that's the place of the machshava, the thoughts that I have. Those come from my moach. Those come from my head. And he says, if you think about it, he says, the thoughts in your head are far more severe in terms of severity than the thoughts in your heart. Similar to, it's like if a person puts garbage in the palace of the king, and a person puts garbage in the room of the king, the throne of the king. The throne of the king is much worse. The throne of the king is our machshava up in our head. That is much more intense. Obviously, it's bad to have garbage anywhere. Granted, we're not disagreeing with that. We're just trying to show that the difference between the heart and the head has much more greater severity. Klolo Shaldover 22, Hamachshava Atsum V'Chazak Mikoach HaMaisa. And one's thought is a much more pronounced than the world of action. Hagam Shebedab Alabayit V'Sichat Chulim Miyachasim Kovin Mishkal HaMaisim Pulov. In our world, everything's by action. Right? If you didn't do it, what is it worth? However, in the philosophical sense, one's hirhuri, in the higher sense, have a greater impact on a person than the world of action. And indeed, we've spoken about this before, parenthetically, in the Rav Gedalia Shor Gedayahu, that the world of action is really out of our hands. You know, I want to go out into the store and buy you something, but you know what, the store is closed, that I didn't make it, or my car broke down, or a zillion other things. But the world of thought is in my hands. So even though we think otherwise that I'm in control of my actions but not my thoughts, the real truth is that the thoughts I am control, albeit maybe not the immediate reaction, but afterwards, right? I might get angry immediately, but then I'm in control whether I'm going to respond to that or not. So the world of thought is in my control, and the world of action is really outside my control. There's so many factors that may stop it. Now, let's go back to that world of thought, that pristine place in my mind where I'm thinking, where I'm, ruminating, where I'm processing. So he gives us an example, homeopathy. And the example that he gives in 23, it's a great mashal nimshal. He says if you take homeopathic drugs. So you know what they do is they take a plant and they distill from that plant, you know, the positive parts that are very healthy, and then they'll dilute it into a lot of water or other liquid, and then when you take those two drops of this concoction, it will have the positive effect, right? They take away all the negative parts of those properties, and you'll just have the positive. Now, if I were to show you this little container of and tell you, you know, this is some homey, you'll get the word, I'm sure you're saying it for me, apothic, whatever, drug, you look at it and you say, well, I don't see any plant in here. All I see is, you know, water. So you say, great. But if you were to, you know, put it under a microscope, or you would, you know, test it out, you would see that the plants are there. And he says, likewise by us. Hanim Shabbos said, 24, because the kol asher naset tachat Hashem is sof ma'isa machshav atchila v'machshav yotzei mekorach lapoa idei pulat hayadayim. We have many thoughts. Until those thoughts actually come down into the world of desire, into the world of action, it becomes so diluted that it's even hard to be able to go back to the original thought to see what I originally thought. So again, like, you know, you sit in bed and I'm thinking, oh, I really want to do this for that person, I want to do that for that person, and on and on and on. And then till it comes to the world of reality, well, it's really not practical to do all these things. So you know what, I think I'm just going to go to the store and buy X or Y, right? So from that place of all of these thoughts, till it's like, oh, I really don't have time or patience to do all of this, let me now do. So when I give her this gift, she's going to say, like, this is it? Well, you should know that it started out as this major thing, and then over time, just like this plant, it becomes diluted into that small drop that we give into the world of action. And that's basically how we function, if you really to think about it. From that world of real thought, pure thought, pristine thought, to the world of action, it goes through many, many, many gilgulim. Nitzed omer shamachshava b'mkoretia, hi harachas akava tuma, double squiggly. In 24, the original thought is very powerful. Koach el yom ruchani, it's very spiritual. U'mishizeh ba'al idei ma'isa kfar nimstamsem v'nidaldel harbei. Until you see it in the world of reality, it has lost a tremendous amount. And really, it is so much more powerful than any of the world of action. Now, based on this, listen closely. Yesh Mishnah Chashivut V'Tokef Oz L'Machshava V'Tshuka L'Davar Mesuvam Shiterim Yotzah L'Poa. There is a tremendous effect that something has when it stays in that state of the pristine thought. As soon as the person even mentions what they want to do, suddenly it brings it into the world of action and it loses something. And oftentimes you tell a person, you know what, tomorrow morning I'm going to get up and I'm going to do A, B, and C. And then when you get up in the morning, you don't do it. Just by saying it, you've somehow taken away some of that punch, some of that power, and now it's already been distilled down. It's like a balloon that's lost its air. To the extent that we're able to keep it without saying anything to anybody and just doing it, we're still able to carry some of that power from the mind into the world of action. Now let's bring this into the example of Stucca. He says, and again, we're not talking about halachically here, we're talking about philosophically. Let's say a person decides, I want to give a lot of money. Oh, it's something happened, you want to give gratitude to Hashem, or you're afraid something may happen, and you want to offset it. So you think in your mind, I want to give a very large sum. And somebody comes over, and they're the perfect person. And you say, you know what? I'm giving you $3,000. Let's say it's a large sum. Maybe for some it is, for some it isn't. And the fellow says, you know what? I really appreciate it. But, you know, I'm collecting for something very specific. And you know what? $2,000 will be perfect. Here's $1,000 back. So now, says Rav Eisenberger, we're on the top of 26 now. What is the fellow going to do with that extra $1,000? Is he going to pocket his money? Usually not. A person is like, wow, I've decided I want to give the $3,000 and I'm not going to rest until all $3,000 is given and I'll find another cause for that $1,000, because he's still living in that state of mind. He hasn't brought it to complete fruition yet and therefore will want it to come to complete fruition. However,
Rak acharei bali de maisa.
When you've given the $1,000, now you've given all $3,000, kishimit batel tokev koach hamachshava, and now I no longer have that desire, I have to give it, because now I've already given it. So now you're not thinking about the money anymore. Now if someone should come over to you and say, I can really use X amount of money, so, not everybody, but he says the normal reaction is, oh, you know what, too bad, I just given this amount of money. You know what? Come back to me in a few weeks and I'll see if I have any more to give. Why? Because once that passion was then given over and now it is what? Finished. Right? Till that sum hasn't been given over, you still have the passion to finish it. But once I've given it over, so then that desire has now waned completely. Until that another desire arouses, could take a few days, a few weeks. Because a person only works according to the desire that they have. And once the desire is finished, it's very hard then to inspire somebody to re-desire, so to speak. So now we can appreciate the Machzir HaShekel, after all we've spoken about. And he says, what's going on here? Since when do we give a half a shekel? Everything Hashem wants is full. Right? If you have a choice between a half a fruit or a full fruit, to make a bracha, you make it on a full fruit. Or, you know, Hashem wants shalom. He doesn't want a kohen, to duchen, who has a mum, who has any type of blemish. We like fullness. We like wholeness. So why is it that here Hashem says, you know what, I want a half of a shekel. So this is what Moshe Rabbeinu had difficulty with. He says, like, what's going on here? Why a half? To which Hashem answers him, let me show you the meaning of a half a shekel. The half a shekel is a fiery coin. Now, what's special about fire? This he notes in the double squiggly in 26, is that fire will not stop as long as it has something to consume. Right? We know so later by a fire in somebody's house or fire in a forest, let's say, that the fire will keep on going. Obviously, if firemen don't come. No fire comes, no water balloons are thrown down. The fire will just keep on going as long as there are trees or something that it can eat it up. Once it's consumed everything, the fire will end. Moshe Rabbeinu is being taught here, when you're giving to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's best to give a half. What does this mean? That in the world of action, give a half. And where should the other half be? It should be in your mind that you still want to give. That your mind should be that fire, that desire that I've given, but it's not like I've given and come back to me in 3 weeks. I've only given half. I've given $2,000. Now I've desired to give that extra $1,000. I'm looking for where I can give it because I have not yet taken that thought and been able to put it into the world of action completely. That should be our vote of Hashem, that no matter what I am doing, I'm giving only a half a shekel. Where is the other half? The other half is in my mind that I want to give you more, Hashem. That it's a fire, that it will never end, it will never be put out. That as long as I can do Asiyas Hashem, I want to give more and more and more and more. And that was the message. Zotachlis Avoda 29. Shitamid Yisheir B'tocho Yoter Mimasho Tziel Apoel. This is the key line. Our Avodas Hashem, this is the kapara for our nefesh. How do you atone for your soul? That you always want to do more. You're never satisfied with what you have given. That world of machshava, the world of thought, desires like fire to be able to give more.
We should be filled with the desire to do a return of Hashem.
You don't give over everything. You always keep part that you want to do more and more and more. This is very similar, my friends, to what the Shilei Pinchas speaks about in 31. We say in the end of Yishtabach, Habocher B'shirei Zimra. This is based on Buddhism, that Hashem chooses the Shirei Zimra, the songs of our song. So why does he repeat Shirei Zimra twice? So they explain the matter as follows. After a God-fearing Jew has finished praying, offering his songs and praises to Hashem, he pauses to reflect, Perhaps, God forbid, his tefillos to the King of the Universe were lacking. Hence, he wishes with all his heart that he could pray to Hashem all over again, this time reciting his songs and praises more perfectly. These desires and yearnings issued from a contrite heart are dearer and more valued to Hashem than the actual song and praises already recited. For at this point, the person has no further recourse. He is remorseful and heartbroken for its failure to pray adequately. There's a well-known maxim in the Gemara, he associates a good thought with an actual deed. Thus, if a person has these sincere thoughts of remorse, Hashem views it as if he actually recited the songs and praises in the ideal manner. This then is the interpretation of the phrase HaBocher v'Shirei Zimra. The word Shirei, which means songs of, is related to the word Shayarei Zimra, meaning remnants of song, Shirayim, right, by a Hasidic Tish, those are leftovers. In other words, Hashem chooses the remnants of our songs and praises, those parts that were not actually expressed by Israel in their prayers, but were longed for after the completion of their prayers, wishing they had prayed more sincerely. Now we can explain why the minhag of the early people was to prepare for an hour for the daven, to daven for an hour, and then to think about the davening for another hour. What are they doing thinking about the davening for another hour? They were brokenhearted. They realized how they could have davened more. That extra hour was their way of saying, HaBocher v'Shirei Zimra v'Shayarei Zimra. Oh, I could have done it better. I could have done it better. This applies to all mitzvot, not only to tefillah. Whenever a Jew performs one of Hashem's mitzvot, and then reflects back remorsefully that he failed to perform the mitzvah properly, Hashem considers it as if he performed the mitzvah a second time in the perfect manner. And that, my friends, opening very deep, let's try to summarize Rav Eisenberger. What is the Machzid HaShekel? What is Shabbos Parshat Shkolim about? It's about recognizing that our Avodas Hashem has two components. It's the world of action down here, and at the same time, there's the world of thought and desire. And we have to recognize that in Yiddishkeit, that part of thought and desire is very powerful, and it's like fire, and it has to keep going, it has to keep igniting us, that even after I've done a mitzvah, I shouldn't just say, oh, Yotzei Zayin, I've done this mitzvah, I've done this chesed, I've done this davening, I've done it, I've benched. No, Yiddishkeit is half a shekel. That was what Moshe Rabbeinu had a hard time understanding. How can anything be a half when everything's about a whole? And the answer is, Hashem is teaching him, this is what Yiddishkeit is about. Half is down here. The other half is your mindset after you've done it, with a longing and yearning to have done it better. And whatever action we do, it's not just enough to have the action down here. We have to accompany that action with the fire, with the longing, with the yearning. HaBocher v'Shirei v'Shayarei Zimra. How could I have done it better? And that's the beauty of a Jew. Where instead of saying, let me be Yotzei Zayin, ugh, I finished it, next, you know, like a checklist. You know, brush my teeth, daven, said, ate breakfast, said brachos, bench. It's not. It's I'm continually connected to it. That I'm connected to that aspect where I'm always checking, how could I have done it better? And I'm connected to it, and I want to connect to it, and I want to continue that mitzvah as much as possible. And that enables me to continue my connection and my desire to Hashem. It's not like, okay, I've done it, now I'm finished. No, not in a way that's OCD. Don't get me wrong. Oh my gosh, I should have done this way. Oh my gosh, no. No, in a healthy way of I love you, Hashem, and I just want to do it as best as possible. And I want to show you I'm so connected to it. I'm not just finished giving it. $3,000, I'm over. No, I'm looking for more opportunities and more opportunities. I'm looking to connect. That is what Shabbos Shkolim was about. It's a Shabbos of connection, of shikul das, of using our mind and being able to use that deep place of mind to connect with the world of action. I grant you, my friends, it's a high level. To always be on that focus, that hyper-focus, it's hard. So let's bring ourselves down to the fourth level, which is a little bit more concrete, a little bit easier. And I think the fourth will help us a bit with the third as well. And that's the classic interpretation of what this fiery coin is about. The Sheni Shmuel, we've done this before. The word for silver or money is kesef. The same word appears in the following verse. Since you had a strong longing, kasaf, for your father's house. Nichsos nichsafti, the same yudin nefet. Since all similar Hebrew words have the same basic meaning, we can say that the use of money expresses in some form a craving for the object purchased. A mitzvah performed with money will therefore be one in which a deep longing and love for Hashem with His Torah is represented. When one feels a strong passion for something, he burns with desire for it, and this, of course, is the meaning behind the fiery going mentioned above. When a Jew's appetite for mitzvahs and closeness to God has waned, that is, his passion for Jewish life has cooled, he easily falls prey to indolence and sin. When he realizes his error, it's not enough simply to return to the mitzvah observance and continue as if nothing happened. Rather, he must grasp the opposite mindset from that which led him to sin in the first place. He must revise his view of life and try to infuse his performance of mitzvahs with a burning and all-consuming passion. Only then can he be certain that the lackadaisical attitude that caused him to err will not creep up on him again. Only by understanding the fire and the fervor which is represented by the mitzvah of the half a shekel can he truly atone for his sins. And that's why we spoke about earlier the coins of Haman had the ability to offset the coins of that were given by the half a shekel by Klal Yisrael. Because what was Amalek about? Amalek was Asher Korcha Baderech. Amalek is about this krirus, about this coldness. We can now understand how that simple mitzvah, the half shekel, can enable an errant Jew to rejoin the Klal. Our task as Jews is to perform every mitzvah and to learn every word of Torah with a great and passionate love. Failure to do so may mean that even a technically observant Jew has failed to achieve full membership of the Jewish nation. But anyone, even the least observant person, who appreciates the great power inherent in his soul and gives the half a shekel intent on awakening these strings, has revived his personality, has reawakened his desire, has really beaten Haman and what Amalek is all about. Our challenge, my friend, what the Machzik HaShekel is about, is that Adar begins this period of Aleph Dar, of Hashem really residing among us. It's a time of Purim, it's a time of Pesach, it's a time of closeness to Hashem. Shabbos Parshat Shkolim is a time where we have to re-infuse this passion and enthusiasm. That's how it can be a kapara, not just giving the coin, but the nichsof, the ichsafti, the kesef, when I have this passion, this fire for Hashem, that has the ability to be l'kapar nafshal sechem, to atone for your sin, because sin is usually done in a state of krivus, in a state of coldness, and this counteracts that state of coldness. It's interesting, the Lekach Valibov notes that when Hashem put the mountain over their head, Kafaleb Harki Gigis. So the question that's asked, Tosfos asks, is why does Hashem have to force the mountain over their head? Did they not say Nasev and Ishma? So one answer that's given is that maybe when they saw the fire, they will think twice. So Al Derech Drush, we can explain, he says, is that when they saw the fire, Barotam and Matan Torah to Eishazo, not that they saw the fire and they're getting scared of God. No. Mashitovim Ish Yisrael Leo Kulo, end of 36, Eish Kodesh. Malei Yislavos Lashem Yitbarach. Shed Zeng Lo Kiblu Volzei Akfiyah. That's where they had to be forced. Oh, keep Torah, I can do that. You want me to keep it with passion? You want me to keep it with enthusiasm? Whoa! That's already a little bit too much for me. That's where they were reticent. And that's why we have the Kimu V'Kiblu, the reenactment of the Mamad Har Sinai by Purim, as we'll talk about in a minute. It's exactly this Nakuta, that not only am I accepting Torah, but I'm accepting Torah with this passion and enthusiasm. Rav Biderman, Be'er Chaim, points this out, and he says, Source 40, Shemavatai lo erlo mit Midat Matbea Kreta. Of course Hashem isn't showing him what a coin is. El Shatei Netina Ta Matbea Mitoch Yislavus Eish Kodesh. Hashem is telling him how to give it with fire and passion. Ki a Matbea Shel Eish Eina Kavana Lukesa Vishterot Gashmim. It's not just money down here, but it's the Avoda of Klal Yisrael Mitoch Yishtokos Vislavus. V'yachin Gduzo Tachat Kisei HaKavod. This is what's found under the throne of glory. The passion, what we have inherently in each and every one of us, as the Sfas Emes points out, in source 39, that each and every one of us, Hashem, has infused in us this love for our Kodesh Baruch Hu. We have it in us. This is the way we're wired from the moment we're born, under the Kisei HaKavod. Our job is to be able to take this and offer it to Hashem. And he says that's why in 41 it's just a machzid shekel. It's part of a coin, not a whole coin. Because you know what? It doesn't really matter what you give to Hashem. The point is that you give. The point is, she'arer libo lishtoke kevelech both lit karev derachmana liba bai. What Hashem wants is a rutzon. It could be even something small, but rather something small that's really a reflection of your desire to give. And my friends, this is the idea of Shabbos Parshat Shkolim. I don't have a shekel today, but you know what I do have? And you know what I do have to give? I have to give my desire. I have to give my passion. Whether it's my davening, whether it's my chesed, whether it's my Shabbos. That's what Shabbos Parshat Shkolim is about. Where is that fiery passion in your Avodas Hashem? Where is your longing, your nichsof, nichsafti, your desire? Where is that love to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So again, on the perfect level, level number 3, that when you've done a mitzvah, you have the abochem shirei zimra. There's part of you that says, oh, I wish I could do it better. I want to do it better. I'm going to do it better. Great. If you're holding there that your mind is connected to what you're doing and you desire more, matovu manayim, how wonderful. However, even if you're not holding that higher level of the brain space, when you're here right now, whatever you're doing, when you're doing it, do it fully. Do it mindfully. Do it with a sense of passion. Do it with a sense that I have this chus of being able to serve Hashem. Shabbos Parshat Shkolim, the simcha, the hisorus. You know, people get into Mishenichlas Adar Marbin the simcha, and they do all the shtick, which is fine. Real simcha is about being able to serve Hashem completely. That's where the simcha needs to be placed, in that passionate relationship with Hashem. And indeed, in 43a, I would like to do 2 footnotes. The pasuk tells us, this is this week's parasha Mishpatim, we got it in, Umare kvod Hashem ke'esh ochelet b'rosh ha'har. The mar'eh, the image of the glory of Hashem, was like a burning fire eating the top of the mountain. Says the Kedushas Levi, she'kasher ha'adam rotzeh ladad im hu mekushar im aviv shemashamayim. If you want to know how connected you are with Hashem in heaven, yivdok midat hilavuto b'dvar mitzvah v'adar ha'korish. See how much passion you have when you do a mitzvah. Ki zeh yochiyah chozeh. That's what it means. Umare kvod Hashem. You want to know. Shasiman kama kvod Hashem yakar beinav. You want to know how much the mare, the image is of kvod Hashem, is close to you. Then you ask yourself, ke'esh ochlel b'rosh ha'har. How much passion do you have in the mitzvah that you're doing? That's how you know. If you say a bracha and then say, did I say a bracha? Well, there's not too much passion there. There's not too much connection. This is something we can check ourselves. And he says in the next footnote, 43b, he says, you want to know the power of ratzon, of desire and passion? So this is a great medrash. The medrash says that before Shmuel was born, there was a bas kol, there was a heavenly voice that came out that says there's going to be a child who's going to be born, whose name is Shmuel, that he is going to get prophecy from Hashem. What happened? Everyone named their kid Shmuel that year. And they all wanted to have, that their child should have, Hashras Hashchina. So even though there was only one Shmuel Hanavi, nevertheless, these people who desire to be Shmuel, the Sfarim say that every single one of them, all those Shmuels, received prophecy from Hashem. Indeed, some Sfarim say that when Shaul, came to see Shmuel, there was all these groups of prophets. Who were they? They were all these Shmuels who were flying around here, who got prophecy, right? So when you name your kid Shmuel, it's a very powerful name. It's really that desire that my son should become close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's really where the Shmuel is coming from. It's a very powerful name of connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of desire. And this is Klal Yisrael, what it's all about. People name their kid Shmuel because they wanted them to have a relationship with Hashem. Where can we translate that into our own lives? And that, my friends, is really on 2 levels of translation. One is Purim, and one is life. Purim, Yom Teshurim, Rabbi Miller, We know that we spoke about 44, Shokarcha Baderech, that Amalek represents Karivus. Amalek represents don't have this passion in your Avodas Hashem. And that's why Esther Minatar, Mimayim Aster Aster Panai, that's why Esther said Mordechai closed. Don't scream in the street. Modesty. Quiet is good. Mordechai responded, not in this case. Asher Korcha Baderech. Amalek represents Krivus, represents quiet. We have to respond with Yislavos, with screaming in the street, wearing public sackcloth and in ashes. That has to be the counter to Amalek. This seemingly minor detail and effect allowed Haman to enact his horrendous decree. The Chazal tell us that Yeshno Amachad, there was a certain nation, read it, the Gemara Megillah says, as Yeshnu Amachad. Klai Yisrael were doing the mitzvahs in the time of Purim, but they were sleeping through it. They were doing it on a perfunctory level. That is, right, we spoke about lack of achdus. This is the second thing that Klai Yisrael lacked. They lacked the passion. They lacked the enthusiasm. Therefore, the type of repentance which was required to neutralize this decree was one in which extremes of enthusiasm would be demonstrated. Now we can grasp the positive effects of the excitement that forms an integral part of the Purim celebrations. It is essential, however, that these feelings be translated into our spiritual lives. In this way, it will be stimulating the rectification that was carried out by Mordechai so many years ago. That is the key of the kibbutz. It's not just accepting Torah, it's accepting Torah with passion. Why is Purim off the charts in terms of, you know, merrymaking and happiness? It's not just about Purim, it's about our Kabbalah Satorah. It has to go beyond Purim into our Avodas Hashem. Which leads us to one of my favorite ideas. I've said this so many times because it's so beloved to me. In Source 47, Layhudim Haita Oru V'Simcha V'Sosa V'Yikar, the Gemara says, Layhudim Da Oru, they had Torah. Sosom, they had Mila. Simcha, they had festivals. V'Yikar, they had Tefillin. They have this question from Schwab and asks, you would think until then they couldn't learn Torah, they couldn't give her Brismila, of course they could. What does it mean now they had Torah, now they had light? So explains Rav Schwab, that's, it's so beautiful. Of course they had Torah, but they had Torah without light. They had Yantif without joy. They were missing this element. This is what we need to bring into Yiddishkeit. Where's our passion? Where's our enthusiasm? That Shabbos Parsha Shkolim, the Shikol Adas. Ask yourself before you do a mitzvah, am I doing it with my entire being? Is my machshava there so I can even want to do it better? How can I do it better? How can I do it with love? How can I have that Marek Kvod Hashem? I'm the Esh Ochelet on the Har. How can I have this exuberance? And this is what the Aras Derech notes for Weissblum Shlita in 48. It's so hard when we've been able, Lashvisho Begirsa Diankuta, to teach children at a young age to dav and to do mitzvahs. So then it becomes by rote. So the challenge really is to be able to keep this aspect of rote because it ensures that mitzvahs will be done. But as adults and as we grow older, to be able to bring our seichel of adults into what we're doing as habituated as children and be able to create the proper mindset. Mitzvot shanim mekimim ota pamacha b'shana nasa beislavos. You're right, a mitzvah I do once a year has passion. A mitzvah I do every day, we've lost the passion. And that's why shaleinu in the arrow l'shanot ha'gisha mibchina echut lamid atzmeinu b'shad ha'vitzrut. We have to imagine that if a chair nochi mitzav chayom, as a dukma chadosha, as if I've gotten this mitzvah today, Hashem is commanding me with that passion. And he brings down that one way of working toward this is mea brachos. 100 blessings a day is 100 opportunities to stop. Where did this apple come from? Wow, a tree. Wow, look at the beauty of the apple tree. Wow, majestic. Hashem has watched this apple tree grow from the grandpa apple tree. All those seeds, this apple tree grew. And this apple grew on the tree. And Hashem has been watching this apple. That I am the apple of His eye is given this particular apple. It's not just an apple. It's an apple of love. Wow. Then you get to the core of the apple. And then you can say, Bori Pri Eitz. At least through Mea Brachos, give us opportunities, Pokeach Ivrim, ability to see all of these brachos, infuse us with a whole different reality in our lives. That's our challenge. At least Shabbos Parshat Shkolim. that our avodas Hashem, our mitzvahs, particularly our mea brachos on Shabbos, should be done with that awareness. I have to be on fire. I have to give this to Kadosh Baruch Hu. The passionate personification of the Machzid HaShekel is the model for all of us to live by. And just to summarize, on the first level, it's to show you that money can be spiritual. On the second level, to be able to understand that every person has the ability to be on fire, which means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is treating us l'malo miderech hateva, above the natural order. Our job is to do Ritzon Hashem, our neshamas from under the kisei kavod, create achdus, to create unity, atidim, atudim, to have the goats that connect us. Shabbos Parsha Shkolim, it's a time of unity. Purim is a time of unity. It's a time to be able to get along together. It's a time to bring Aleph Dar, Adar, Hashem's presence down among us, to tap into Knesset Yisrael. The third level is that Hashem wants a half, because the other half He wants us to keep in our mind, in that place of continually desiring to do. Not, I've done it and I'm finished. But as long as it's still up here, it's still in my mind, I'm thinking about ways to do it better. B'shirei Zimra, B'shayirei Zimra, my tfilos, my chesed, how I can improve in my avodas Hashem. That's the fire. The fire continually burns as long as there's something there. As long as I'm still thinking about how I could do that mitzvah, the mitzvah is still very much alive and well within me. And that's the continuous relationship we have with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And finally, if I'm not on that level of continually thinking, at least in the world of action, I need to have the passion. That's the kapara. The kapara is because I acted in a way of kriyus, of coldness. It didn't bother me. That's why I did this sin. And I have to counteract it by showing my relationship with Hashem does concern me. I want to do it with passion. That was what was so hard for Klai Yisrael. That was the Kthia. Hashem had to force them with a fire to do it with passion. That's what we took upon ourselves at the Purim story. And that is our responsibility. Parsha Shabbos Shkolim, Simcha, Purim, Adar, Pesach, is to bring the Tislavos. And if I can't do it in everything, try the Mea Brachos. If not the Mea Brachos, pick one mitzvah where I say, Hinni Mucha Mezuman, I'm behold, I'm ready to have passion, to have love. I'm not just doing it, I'm doing it because I want to connect. And I think about it. And in so doing, not only have we just reminded ourselves of what Shabbos Shkolim is about, but to a certain degree, we, at that moment that we give with passion, we are bringing that half a shekel to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and in that tzvus, Hashem should bench us with a year of bracha, a year of hashras, hashchina, and be able to have the true simcha in our lives of Aleph Dar, of Hashem, living among us.